Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to start reading the first few verses of this chapter here. Pastor asked me about a week and a half ago if I would teach his class because he's over at junior church today. And I said, yeah, I just needed to get somebody in my class, and Lord came through, and I got Willie. He's preaching my class today, so I'm thankful for that. And ready to get going with what the Lord laid on my heart to teach to you guys. So beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says this: Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach to these folks, Lord. Solid folks, Lord, this is really what our church is built off of and built on, Lord. These folks, these faithful folks that tithe and are here every Sunday, Lord, and we're thankful for them, Lord. The rest of the Sunday school couldn't do what it does without these people, Lord. And I just pray you would use me today, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. God, fill me with your spirit. Control everything that I say and do. And Lord, I pray you just focus me on your scriptures, Lord, and help me not to worry about anything that, you know, before or after. This time right now, Lord, I need you to help me, and I pray you would help the people to listen to what you have them here for today, Lord. God, you didn't just bring us to church to just go through the motions, Lord. You brought us here because you want to say something to us. And God, I pray you'd help us to listen to it and have ears to hear. And Lord, once we hear it, that we would be ready to live it out and have it change our lives, Lord, in whatever way that you see fit, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. And I pray that you would bless this day, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, Jesus is mainly dealing with the Jewish people. Matthew's writing to these Jewish people, and the whole argument that's going throughout the whole book is Matthew's proving that Jesus is their Messiah. Jesus is their King. Jesus is the one they're looking for. You know, most of us know that most of the Jewish people nowadays, they think that when Jesus comes, that it'll be his first visit. Actually, it'll be his second, because he came and took care of all that, dying on the cross and showing the example for us and all of that stuff. He did that some 2,000 years ago. But that's what Matthew's dealing with throughout this book. And in this section of the book, this is a Sermon on the Mount, very famous portion of the scriptures in chapter 5, you know, blessed are the merciful and blessed are the peacemakers and all these different things we hear about all the time. And Jesus is laying down some rules for his followers. He's saying, if you want to be part of my kingdom, these are things you got to do. And one day we'll all do that. We're working on them now. We'll have them perfect all up there. But then throughout this Sermon on the Mount, not only is Jesus telling his followers, his children, certain things that they need to do, but he's also kind of comparing, he's giving them an example what not to do. That's how I should say it. Throughout this Sermon on the Mount is chapter 6. I'm not going to deal with it very much, but he talks about the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the people that would get up and preach one thing and then go live quite another. And he talks about how they give their alms. This would be like a charitable contribution to people, to poor people. You know, we have them nowadays. They're begging for money. And these people, they would give money to the poor people, which is fine. But the only reason these people would do it is to be seen of men. They were waiting until all the eyes were on them. And then they, all right, let me get my, how you doing? Can I help you out? And that's all they wanted. They wanted the people, oh, look at that guy. Wow. That's all they cared about. Jesus said, you have your reward. Listen, folks, if that's all you care about, then you have your reward. If that's what you're going for, then you get it. But he goes throughout and says, if you're my children and you want to get a reward of me, don't do it to be seen of men. Do it to be seen of me. Listen, it doesn't matter who sees you passing out a tract. It doesn't matter who sees you giving to the offering. You cough really loud so everybody sees when the offering's coming by your... You drop all the coins, right? Look, that was me. The usher goes down with your, you know, heavy load that you give to him. Folks, that's not what we need to be after. If nobody sees us pray, if nobody sees us give, if nobody sees us sacrifice, if nobody sees what we do, if God sees it, that's all we need. That's all we need. He goes throughout and they do that with their almsgiving. They do that with their prayers. They do that with their fasting. They do that in a lot of different areas. And Jesus tells them, you're laying up treasure for yourself on earth. That's what you're going after, and you're getting it. You're not getting anything in heaven. He gets into chapter 7, and If you notice, when we read this passage here, this is something we hear a lot of. But the Lord's been working on me about this through the last couple months, and He showed me some stuff. I've been studying it, and I think it would really be a help for us because we get this thrown at us all the time if you're trying to, you know, talk to people about the Lord. So let's read it one more time in verse 1 of chapter 7. The Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Ever heard that before? Not just in church, right? That's a favorite verse of most people in the world. And we'll explain why in a minute. Verse 2, "But with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And then he goes on and gives a little kind of parable-type story. But Jesus, in this passage here, he's dealing with hypocritical teachers. That's who he's talking to. Now, on the other end of that, he's, like I said, he's kind of giving his children an example of what not to be. But he's talking to these people. He's saying, listen, you judge people, you get up and you preach that they should do certain things, and then you go home and do the opposite. And he's telling them, he's saying, you say one thing with your mouth and you say quite another with your life. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I know none of us do if you're trying to please the Lord in here today. In this passage, he's dealing with hypocrites. Dealing with hypocrites. The world misuses this big time to us a lot of times. They say, judge not. Basically, what they're saying is, get out of my business. Basically, what they're saying is, don't shine any light on my wickedness. I want to sin and I don't want to be bothered by it. I don't want my conscience bothering me. So just let me sin and get out of my business. That's what they're telling you. And that's not at all what it's saying. But please listen today, folks, because even though this passage is dealing with hypocrites, and I'm not calling anybody a hypocrite, these things are really easy to fall into. They really are. I was speaking about this a few weeks ago in my class, and as you go through it, you say, man, that's real easy for us to fall into. And I don't want to fall into these things. I don't want to be somebody that you know, if they see my life or they think about me, it pushes them away from the Lord. I don't want to do that, man. I don't. And I fail at times, but I want to be somebody that pushes people to the Lord, you know? And I think all of us do, to some extent at least. Please listen today, because it gives us great exhortation of what not to be, as Jesus in this passage is dealing with hypocrites. That's what I'm speaking on today. The title of the message is Dealing with Hypocrites. Notice, first of all, in this message, Dealing with Hypocrites, first of all, number one, the same standard applies to you. Same standard applies to you. Please focus on this, because this is vitally important. If you're trying to talk to people, if you're trying to help people, if you're trying to get them in the church and work with them, especially people that don't really have much of a church background or anything like that, you probably will get this thrown at you. God, judge not. Stay out of my business. Don't tell me what to do. As the teenager said, don't tell me what to do. Okay? They're telling us that in so many words. They say, judge not that you be not judged. Let me tell you what this is not, so before we get into actually what it is. Folks, when Jesus says judge not, he's not saying don't think. He's not saying don't have a brain. He's not saying don't use your Bible. Folks, he gave us the Bible for a reason. He's not saying don't be able to tell between black or white or right and wrong. Folks, we take, and let me balance it out by saying this. We shouldn't be all over everybody's case, you know, running them in the ground. We shouldn't be like that. Walk into your job. That's a no-no. You know what? Nobody's going to listen to you if that's the way you act. Like, you are better than them. We're not better than them. He's better than them. They need him. That's what we needed too, right? We still need him today. We're no better than anybody. But they certainly do need him. But if we walk around like that, nobody will listen to us. But Jesus is not saying don't have a brain. Folks, if people are doing wrong, how can I say I truly love you and I care about you if I just let you get away with it? Let you go ruin your life. Jesus is not saying here, don't tell anybody that they're wrong. He's not saying that. He's not saying let them get away with anything because we don't want to make them feel bad. Who's he speaking to? He's not speaking to his children. He's speaking to hypocrites. He's talking to them. He's saying, you don't judge. Because you judge people, then you go live the opposite up. You know what he's saying? In so many words, if you want to condense verses 1 and 2 down, shut up. That's what he's saying to them. Because listen, you have no business getting up telling people what they should do and not do if you're not doing it yourself. Shut up. Be quiet. Let somebody else teach you if you're not going to live it yourself. Honestly. Honestly. Listen, folks, believe me, I preach enough to where I notice it's easy to get up and say some stuff. It's not so easy to live that stuff. It's not. It's not easy at all. You get the pressure. You get the devil working on you. You get the looks. You get the isolation. You feel that. You're not immune to it. You're not one of those people that just doesn't notice things, you know? I notice that stuff. Some people just walk around, it's all good. I'm like, I don't feel like that. Whew. You feel them arrows coming from you. Man, chill out, you know? He's saying the same standard applies to you. Folks, we take this and we don't want to, you know, be condemning and critical of people. And like I said, you know, walking in, yeah, you're an idiot. Nobody's going to listen to us like that. But we take that, and because we don't understand what this is talking about, we jump way over to the other extreme to where we can't even tell people right and wrong. Listen to me. Nowadays, with a lot of what they call postmodern churches, emerging church movement, you can't be sure of anything the Bible says because of pretty much this reason. Well, I mean, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. How are you? You're telling people the truth. I didn't make it up. And by the way, this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I was preaching to the guys Friday night, though. I was saying, listen, every time I was telling them, I said, every time I give you a point, you can mark it down. I'm going to direct you to the verse that I got it from. I said, guys, that's why you need your Bible. That's why you need to look at it. That's why you need to read it. That's why when the preacher says something and he says, all right, then look at verse 1. You need to look at verse 1. You know why? Because that tells you it comes out of this book. I was telling the guys, I said, guys, this stuff I'm preaching to you tonight, I got out of here. I said, me and Jeffrey didn't sit down and say, oh, what are we going to yell at the guys about this Friday? Girls, that's a good one. Uh-huh. Man, I can yell a long time about that. All right. Music. Man, Jeffrey, you're on a roll. That's not what we're doing here, folks. That's not what we're doing here. That's just people's opinions. If it comes out of the book, out of the Bible, it's God's opinion. That matters. We can be wrong. He's never wrong. He's saying the same standard applies to you. Listen, folks, we jump to the other extreme to where we can't even know what's right and wrong. Because then if we do, we're judgmental. No. God tells us to have wisdom. God tells us to have discernment. God tells us we should know certain things are right, certain things are wrong. That's why he gave us this book. That's why his Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Listen, used to be the chaplain at my college. Nice guy, but this is how far it goes. This is just kind of a random example, but you'll see where I'm going. Okay, he says, he's preaching in chapel one time. He says, I have this friend down here. I don't know what his friend's name. I wasn't in chapel that day. My friends were telling me about it. He said, I have this friend down here. We've been friends a long time. My friend happens to be black. He says, but you know what? I don't even notice that he's black. Folks, I can understand us, you know, we don't want to get into the gray area and we don't want to be hurting people's feelings, but you don't even notice he's black? Please. That's like, yeah. Call me crazy, but when I walked into here today, I walked by Brother Walter, and you know what? Something in my mind said, Brother Walter's black. I mean, Brother Kitty, you know, it just happened. Folks, you know, you say, what does that have to do with judge now that you've been on judge? We jump to that extreme. We don't even know. Duh. That's like, you know, if somebody's really tall. I don't even notice you're tall. That's just dumb. You know what I'm saying? That's really dumb. God, when Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, he didn't say, don't have a brain, don't think. That's not what he's saying. You say, well, what is he saying? He's saying the same standard applies to you. If you lay down this standard, now all our standards should come from here. If you're laying down your own standards, then you're going to have a problem that don't come from this book. But if you're laying down standards that come from this book, you say, this is wrong. Anything past this line is wrong. Folks, if you do this, past this, you, all of you are wrong in sin. Then as soon as we finish here today, you see me past the line. That's what Jesus is talking about. Exactly what he's talking about. He's saying, judge not that ye be not judged. Because, verse 2, with what judgment ye judge, if I judge you and say, this is right, ye shall be judged. And I have every right to be judged by you if I say, this is wrong, and then I go do wrong. You have every right to get on me and say, what in the world are you telling us?
You say this is wrong, and then you go do wrong. What are you doing?
That's what it's saying. Listen, people, we don't have to be intimidated by people saying this to us.
Listen,
you know how you can stay away from being intimidated? Live right. If you say something, do your best to live up to it. Might help all of us to watch what we say. He's saying the subpoints under this, the same standard applies to you, the subpoints under this. What you regard as right. He says with what judgment you judge. What you regard as right. Now again, anything God says is right. But in this case, whatever you lay down as guidelines, as what's right and wrong in your life, you better live up to that. What you regard as right, you are required to live up to that. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Then he moves on and he says, if not, there's going to be retribution. Be payback. It should be. There's nothing wrong with that. Look, verse 2, once again, he says, with what judgment ye judge, I tell you, this is wrong, this is right, ye shall be judged. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. He's saying if you measure a certain thing in your life and say, all right, that's it right there. And if I go and I live past that, folks, you have every right to get on me or whoever says it. And listen, if somebody in the future says this verse to you, judge not that you be not judged, say, well, that's not actually what it's talking about. It's not. Now, if I go, you know, if say it happens at your job, you know, somebody cusses, you say, hey, you shouldn't say that. And they say, hey, judge not. Doesn't the Bible say that? You say, that's not what it's talking about. What the Bible's saying is, if I tell you not to cuss, I shouldn't be cussing either. That's it. That's all it's saying. Folks, if I say, hey, stop. Come on, man. Watch your language. Then I get mad. Oh, but you better believe they should come back at me and say, what is wrong with you? You just told me that's wrong, then you do it? Hey, he's saying what you regard as right, you're going to be required to live up to. If not, there's going to be retribution in your life. And you should be ready for it. It shouldn't be a shock to you. Folks, this is big time applies to us as fundamentalists because we have a lot of rules. You know why? Because we're trying to please the Lord. But listen, we better live up to those rules and not just get up here every Sunday and we got a new rule. Rule, more rules. And then we don't live those rules. That's what Jesus is saying. Because if we do that, it's payback time. It's payback time. Hey, you know what Jesus is saying to these hypocrites he's dealing with? He's saying, listen, if you're going to go live like the devil, shut up. Makes sense to me, right? I don't even really have time to say this, but I'm going to say it. It bothers me when people quit church or when they all of a sudden give up living for God. And then, you know, we get in some kind of spiritual conversation amongst our friends. I have friends like, you know, associations like this nowadays. And all of a sudden, they're the expert. Like, Kenny, your son and I sometimes are like, ho, 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 ho. You just quit serving God and now you're the expert? You shouldn't be talking right now. That's true. That's mean. That's true. Folks, sometimes I work on the bus and I have fun on the bus, but sometimes it's difficult. There's certain issues, challenges you got to deal with, and that's the way with anything. But if somebody gets up and never been on the bus, starts up, you need to blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to be a good Christian, but you know there's something inside of you like, you don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah. There's something inside of you like, praise the Lord. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, Jesus is saying to these hypocrites, I'm dealing with you hypocrites. Hey, the same standard applies to you. No double standards here. No double standards for preachers. No double standards for Christians. No double standards for those in Woodlawn Baptist Church.
Well, I go to Woodlawn. We talk about some good stuff. We don't live it, but we talk about it.
That's not good enough. The same standard applies to us. Everything we tell those bus kids, we got to live. Everything I tell those teenagers, I got to live. If I don't, hey, I should be ready for it. They should bring it back at me and spare no punches. Same standard applies to you. Jesus is saying, listen, Judge not that you be not judged. If you, with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. With what measure you meet, you're going to be measured again. It's going to be measured to you. Folks, what Jesus is saying is, be ready for people to challenge you on what you believe. If you say you believe it, you better live it. If you don't live it, you better be ready for people to bring it back at you. Throw it back in your face. And they, I've said this about 8 million times so far, but they should throw it back in your face if that's what, if that's how we are, if that's how we're acting. He's saying the same standard applies to you. Secondly, in this passage about dealing with hypocrites, I want you to notice, secondly, the sample of their stupidity, verses 3 and 4. We see that the same standard applies to them, but let's see a sample of their stupidity. Verse 3, the Bible says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye, thine own eye." This is a sample of their stupidity. Folks, before we, you know, stupid hypocrites, we can do the exact same thing. We really can. We really can. First of all, what they do, they fixate on someone else's problem. They fixate on someone else's problem. Beginning of verse 3, the Bible says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" He's looking at his brother's eye. This guy's got his own problems. We'll see that in just a moment. He's fixating on someone else's problem. Now, folks, again, remember what we were just talking about. If you're living right, okay, if you're doing your, I'm not saying you're perfect, none of us are perfect, but if you're doing your best to get in your Bible, pray, live right, live pure, hey, you being a good friend and a good Christian brother or sister to someone else in the church, you need to go and help them. Okay, I don't want to scare anybody off it. I'm not going to touch it. Well, you're not helping them out. 1 Corinthians 12 says we're a body, we work together. It doesn't matter what part of the body you are, you better be working, because I can't do your job and you can't do mine. A lot of times we try to buy for the same jobs. Why can't I get that job? Because that's not what God has called you to be. If you're a foot and not a hand, don't complain about it. Walk. Because you know what the problem is? As every member of the body, you need to be focused on and functioning in your particular role, whatever that is. You know what the problem is? When you start fixating on someone else's problem a lot of times, not only are you criticizing them, what are you doing while you're criticizing them? Not doing your job. So instead of walking as a foot, you're saying, stupid hand, you get to be up there with all the spotlight, wave at people. Man, I wish I was you. I got to have a shoe over me. Can't breathe in here. All this stuff. I don't know what I'm talking about. If Brother Bob were in here, it would be about the right time for Brother Bob to be like, preach it. And I'm like, Brother Bob, I don't know what I'm preaching. I'm lost, man. I mean, I'm saved, but I'm lost in what I'm saying. Listen, if you're complaining about what you are, you're not doing your job. Just walk. Don't worry about the hand. Let the hand worry about itself. A sample of their stupidity. They fixate on someone else's problem. Oh, look at that. But at the same time, they forget their own major failures. Verse 3, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? And by the way, a mote, I looked it up, it just means a speck, like a speck of dust, anything. Just a speck, very small. But the end of verse 3, it says, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. This guy's trying to help out his friend. He sees his little problem. His little problem. And folks, even little sins are still sins, so they're not good, okay? But maybe a guy's having, you know, trouble with organizing his time or something like that, okay? I was talking to a guy a couple days ago about that. And maybe he's having trouble like that. But say I have a problem in my life. Say I'm robbing God. I'm not giving him my tithe. Say I'm in disobedience to God. I haven't been baptized, or I'm not faithfully attending church or in my devotions. I'm disobeying. By the way, folks, that stuff is disobedience to God. Well, you can't say it. Listen, folks, Jesus said it. So either you can get it from me or get it from him yourself. But it's still in there. It's true. It's in there. Listen, and God didn't just save you to do nothing now. Folks, I'm just going to mention this in passing, but after you get saved, all right, it's working time now. You're going to be, after you're saved, you're going to be judged for your works now, not heaven and hell. You've already taken care of that. You're going to heaven.
But now you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day, and he's going to say, what did you do for me? What did you do? Are you going to be empty-handed? No, you can't phone a friend, okay? You gotta answer yourself. That's true. That's very true. And sometimes we try to play it off on everybody else and let them do all the work, and we just sit in the background. One day you're going to have to answer for that. Folks, that doesn't have to scare you to death. That just means, that needs to tell you, hey, I need to get to work now. I need to get to work. A sample of their stupidity. If I'm robbing God, I'm disobeying him. Maybe I got wicked or untamed thought life, a thought life like that. Folks, I can't be walking around, you know, inspecting everybody else's eye if I got those problems in my life. I've got enough trouble to deal with myself. Maybe I've got harsh, hurtful words always coming out of my mouth, and then I'm trying to go help somebody else out. You've got enough to deal with. You got enough business to take care of in your own life. You don't need to go, you know, be a missionary to somebody if you got a beam sticking out of your eye. Because you know what that does? There's going to be a fearsome result if that's what you do. Now, in my class, I don't have time to do this. This is good. But in my class, I got a poster rolled up, and I was, you know, acting it out. I won't do that in here. But say, Bob, you're the man because you're right here. All right. I would do Ashley, but she probably slapped me. So. But I say, I'm over here minding my own business. All right. Looking for people to watch me because I'm a hypocrite. All right. Oh my. I can see a speck in your eye, brother. I totally forget about it, but I got a 2x4 sticking out of my eye. But folks, what's going to happen? You tell me. I'm not going to say a word. If I come up and try to help him with his little speck and I got a beam sticking out of my eye, what exactly is going to happen? I'm going to hit him. Good. Hey. No, you better be glad I don't have something to illustrate this. In my class, I had the poster rolled up. Man, I was getting on them boys, man. I would make up for lost time, you know. I'm like, I'm telling you, these hypocrites are like, no. And take that one and say yes, ma'am, to your mom and stop listening to that music. The hypocrites say all that. Yes, it's in there. I'm making up stuff so I can hit them. No, just kidding. I wasn't abusing anybody. I'm just kidding. Yeah, really. But folks, if I come up and buddy, you've got a problem. Small problem. But you've got a problem. And I've got a 2x4 sticking out of my eye. I'm going to hit him on the way. Folks, it'll happen to us too. If we got sin in our life all stacked up, then there's somebody that maybe they're struggling with this or that, and it's still wrong. But we come up, all right, let me get that. Watch out, Brother Cobra. I'm gonna hurt him and probably other people too on my way there. Folks, let's not do that. Hey, that's a sample of their stupidity, but you know what? We can fall into the same stupidity ourselves. Hey, you do more damage than good if you're like that. Folks, again, I'm not trying to scare you off from serving the Lord. We all need to be serving the Lord. And I'll tell you what to do in a minute so we can serve the Lord. He makes it very clear. But we can't serve the Lord like that. Folks, I want every single one of you to be out Thursday night. But if you got stacked up, major, big-time sins in your life, don't come Thursday. We don't need you. We don't need, Tom, you're always forever saying, show up Thursday night. Not if you like that. We don't need it. We need workers in the bus ministry. We need workers in van ministry. We need workers in Sunday school. But if you got big time sins in your life, stay out. Get them right, then talk to us. We don't need that stuff. You know what? You fixate on others' problems. You forget your own major failures. There's a fearsome result because I hurt him more than I help him. And I look very foolish. As a beam boy, you look pretty foolish. Got a 2x4 sticking out of your eye saying, let me help you, brother. why don't you get the 2x4 out? Then help. Folks, it would be like a doctor coming in to the room. You know, the doctors have you sit in there for like 30 minutes on this table, and you can't even, there's no backrest or anything. You're just like, oh, now my back's hurting. I need to tell the doctor about that too. You're sitting there. Right? It would be like the doctor walking in, like, bleeding profusely. Right? And the doctor says, let me help you out. How are you feeling? Let's take your blood pressure.
You say, "Doc, you're bleeding really bad. I mean, you're dripping on me, buddy. You know, don't you want to get that checked?" "Oh, no, I'm fine." That's the same thing. That's the same thing. I'll take a mint on my way out and get another dentist, right? Folks, this stuff makes a lot of sense once you think about it. Listen, we cannot have stacked up major big time sins in our life and, "Oh, let me help you." You need to help yourself first, okay? And again, not getting on anybody, but hey, these are things we need. This is stuff when I preach, I'm like, yeah, I need to check on that all the time. Okay? Jesus is dealing with hypocrites in this passage. He says, first of all, the same standard applies to you. Listen, if you judge people, you better be ready to be judged by that standard. That's it. He says, "I'm going to give you a sample of your own stupidity. You try to help some little guy with a little problem out, but yet you got this huge problem in your own life. That's stupid." Okay, we just said you can judge. Let me judge. That's stupid. Okay. Well, we really can't tell what Jesus is saying here. No, Jesus is saying you're stupid for doing that. Right? Folks, let's just say what the Bible says, right? We don't have to be like the guy in my school. "I don't even know he's black." What? Call me crazy, but I noticed that. All right? Folks, there's nothing wrong with that. Just there's nothing wrong with being able to tell between right and wrong. That's actually a good thing to have. Even though in our society you wouldn't believe that. Third thing, number three. Okay? The steps in order to serve. He gave us the same standard applies to you, the sample of their own stupidity. The steps in order to serve. Okay. So, hey, maybe we are guilty of some of these things. What do we need to do to get it right so that we can serve the Lord? Because, hey, I want to help people. Listen, when I go out on my bus route and I see lives ruined all the time, I hope it's not true. Somebody just told me yesterday, a girl that she used to come on our bus years ago. I used to pick her up every Sunday, knock on her door in Langley Park in Willowbrook. I would knock on her door, and her mom hated her coming to church, hated it. She had three older brothers and one younger sister. This girl was awesome. I mean, loved God, loved coming to church every Sunday. It could be, 20 degrees outside, she'd be at church. It could be 100 degrees outside, she would be at church, if at all possible. Her family hated her. The mom would punish this girl if any of the other kids did anything bad throughout the week. She would get punished. I would knock on the door, no joke, I'd knock on the door Sunday morning, see if they're coming or not. I'm knocking on it. And I hear the mom start yelling. I hear this girl, the girl's name is Amy, start crying, telling her, "But I want to go." Blah, blah. I can't understand Spanish that well, but enough to understand that she's saying, "I want to go to church." And the mom just gets all up. And my heart would break. And I would be on that front, the front there, and I'd be praying, "Lord, please, God, work something out." And sometimes it would. And I said, "Yes." Sometimes it wouldn't. But somebody told me just yesterday, she was probably 11, 12 at the time all this stuff happened. Somebody told me this yesterday, and I hope they don't know what they're talking about, because this person, sometimes they don't know what they're talking about. So hopefully it applies to this circumstance. They say, "Yeah, I heard about Amy. She's like 15, 16 now, got a kid." I'm like, "Man, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that." Folks, I don't want to sit by where that stuff happens. Okay? So if you've been scared off by the first 2 points, jump back in on the third point, please. Jesus does give steps in order to serve. Listen, because this world needs us to do something. They don't need us to just sit back and, "Well, I want to help, but no." You need to get clean so you can help. Because let me tell you, she's not the only one getting her life ruined. I don't do enough. None of us do enough. Because there's people all over the place. The devil's ruined their lives, and we just sit by and say, "Oh, well, I don't want to do that. I want to get involved. I want to make a difference with my life." He gives steps in order to serve. Look at verse 5. This is real simple. Okay, Jesus is getting on these guys. Dealing with hypocrites. The same standard applies to you. He gives a sample of their stupidity. It's stupid to have a beam sticking out of your own eye, and you're worried about this little problem this guy has. He says, "All right, this is what you need to do." Verse 5. "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." That's so simple. But that's what we need to do. First thing, you need to cleanse yourself. He said, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye." That's what you need to do. Folks, if there's stacked up sin in your life to where you can't serve the Lord, Brother Shane gets up and announces about the bus ministry, and there's something inside of you that wants to do it, but you know you have sin in the way, What are we going to do? Just sit there the rest of your life and be miserable and have God working on you, but you can't fulfill the calling? Or get cleaned up so you can do it? I would do option B, if I was you, that is. Get your life cleaned up so you can do it. Folks, there's nothing like serving the Lord. There's nothing like it. I enjoy serving the Lord. I have a good time doing it. If you're stuck in your pew because you got sin weighting you down, oh, I'll never get up out of this seat because I just got so much sin in the way. Get it cleansed. And listen, you don't need a priest for that. Watch out, Tom. You don't need a pastor for that. Ooh! Cut the tape. Cut the mic. No. Listen, folks, we're not Catholics. You don't need me to get up and put some smoke in some jar. Brother Walter. Y'all can get some smoke too. We're all over here. Praise the Lord, I'm cleansed. No, you're just smoky. That's all. You haven't been cleansed. You're just stuffy. That's it. Okay? I don't know if they have a dehumidifier in there. I don't know what that is exactly. We'll have to ask them. Incense, really? Wow. Usually that stuff really stinks. I was like 12 years old. We went on a trip to watch the Noah play at Sight and Sound up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And they took us to some, it was like a motto of the temple that was in Exodus and all. The tabernacle. What am I talking about? I'm getting up here saying dumb stuff. Okay. Sorry. I'll sit down in a minute. Okay. But they lit some incense. And I'm like, oh, I've never smelled this stuff before. Like 2 seconds later, I'm like, oh, I never want to smell this stuff anymore. Man, it stinks. What were they thinking back in the day? No. Steps in order to serve. You need to cleanse yourself. Listen, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Folks, get rid of the sin in your life. That's it. You don't need me to pray for you. Now, if you want a friend or a family member to pray for you, that's great. But you know what? It's what's called the priesthood of the believer. You can go to God yourself. You don't need a priest. You don't need to say, hey, can you slip this paper to God for me? Because I've been doing some really bad things. You can do it yourself. You can do that's cool. You don't even have to wait till the invitation. Right in your seat, you can say, Lord, you know what I'm doing. God, forgive me for that. Get it under the blood, Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not a bad verse. Folks, you don't need a pastor or a priest to do that for you. Okay? You can do it yourself. You need to cleanse yourself, though. And I need to hurry up. Okay? Or I'm going to have to ask God to forgive me for being too long. Okay? Cleanse yourself, first of all. Second thing. He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly. After you cleanse yourself, you need to clearly see. Clearly see. Now, folks, we can't help anybody out if we're not sure if there's a problem or not. So you need to get some wisdom, get some discernment in your life out of this book. Because if I'm not sure Bobby has a problem, I shouldn't be, eye surgery time. There might be a problem with that. Might be one of those things you get in the morning and not a speck. Bobby's like, no. See, it's gone. I'm all right. No, I've already got my tools out. I'm going to hurt him. Listen, man. Yeah, they'll sue me from malpreaching. Folks, then we need to clearly see. Get some discernment. Get some wisdom in your life. He said, first you cast out the beam out of your own eye. Then you can clearly see. And then you get to care for another. Then to cast out the beam, the mote out of that brother's eye. After I get myself clean, after I can clearly see, and I say, is that really a problem? Yeah, it is. I've prayed about it. I've thought about, I've studied some things out. Yeah, that's a problem. He does have a problem there. And I'm living right myself. Hey, Bob, can I help you out here, bro? Hey, man, thanks, man. Hey, it was him, man. Believe me, last week I didn't just have a speck. I had a beam. And he cleansed. He can do you too. Hey, that's pretty cool. Jesus is dealing with these hypocrites. And folks, I'm not calling anybody a hypocrite, but these things we can fall into. Okay? Same standard applies to us. Whatever we preach, whatever we, set forth as our standard, we better live by it. And get your standards from the Bible. Don't make up dumb standards. If you make up dumb standards, you're going to have trouble living up to it. And then other people say, why you live up to that? And you say, I don't know. That's dumb. Get your standards from this book. Okay? And you should have, dress standards, music standards, just in case you think I'm... You don't need those things because they're not in the Bible. Oh, yeah, they are. Same standard applies to you. A sample of their stupidity. And then he gives you steps in order to serve. Man, I want to serve God, but you got to be cleansed first. Yeah, we need people Thursday night, folks, but we only need clean people Thursday night. Clear eyes. If you got dry eyes, you're clear eyes, right? You need clear eyes to be out Thursday night. If you want to serve on a Sunday or Saturday or whatever, you need some clear eyes. So then you can care for another. Because you know what, folks? If not, we can have all the workers in the world. I mean, you can show up Thursday night and there can be 300 people here. But if they're all dirty, listen, we can have all the workers in the world, but Jesus won't be one of them. And I don't care if we have 3 people Thursday night. If we got him, that's good. If we have 300 and we don't have him, we're in trouble, big time. We need him. Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, shall be measured unto you again. Hey, he's dealing with hypocrites. I don't want to be one of those. Same standard applies to you. Applies to all of us, okay? Sample their stupidity and then steps in order to serve. Let's pray, and I'll be out of here. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for how great it is, how much we can learn from it, Lord. I pray you'd help me, Lord, to realize that, you know, this same standard applies to my life, God, and I want to live up to this. And, Lord, help these folks in here. I thank you for them. I pray you'd just give them a blessing from Brother Chad as he preaches. I know he'll do a great job. I just pray you'd give us receptive hearts to it later on. And, Lord, just bless this message. Lord, help us to use it in our lives. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Y'all can eat your donuts or whatever you're doing now.